Welcome to the basketball show on downtown Mornington on a fairly ordinary overcast Friday evening. And of course, well, it's been a big week in basketball. Over to my far right, as usual, we've got the captain, the great man himself, Mr. Nathan Jolly from Frankston Basketball.
Good evening, listeners. Nice to be here again, Bobby. Another big show. Mitch has hit the ground running with a little bit of just soft applause, which is a nice touch this week, Mitch.
And, of course, the rose among the thorns. We've got the man, the hot tipster, the man all the way back from the Park Hyatt last week.
It's good to be back.
Mr. Mark Scaife, welcome.
It's good to be back, Godfather. Hi, Captain. How are you?
The energy levels have just risen in the studio. So
Settled down. I've almost got my voice back. I'm halfway between Rod Stewart and Dolly Parton at the moment, so excuse me, but I'll scratch through.
You'll scratch?
I'll scratch.
All right. Mitch, how are you on this fine Friday evening?
I'll tell you, I'm excited. I've been had my first week off of holidays for uni now, so get into the have a bit of me time this week, but back into it next week, back to the grind.
All right. Well,
well, we've just ticked off the box for our listeners that each start of the show they do like to listen to Mitch's week, so that's nice.
Yes. So obviously each week on the basketball show we have got a little bit of the Peninsula Finals, a bit of news and gossip of what's going on. We'll talk a little bit about the WNBL, a little bit about the local VJBL and what's going. A few practice games, Nathan, down at the Blues, House of Blues tonight.
No training, but we did have the preseason tournament, which we'll touch on in the headlines. But
of course, you've bucked the trend, haven't you?
No, we're just taking a couple of weeks off to gather our breath and prepare ourselves. The final stage of our preparation leading into what is a very important initial grading phase of the Victorian Junior Basketball League.
Which must be nice to have a couple of weeks off because my son obviously is now playing at the Breakers in the under-20s. Guess what time they're playing tonight? 10 o'clock.
And they're in Melbourne. Where are they playing at?
Oh, playing at home, a practice game. How ridiculous, at 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock, jeez.
But that's nine. the spring phase. So just for our listeners, the VJBL, who is the Victorian Basketball, Junior Basketball League. I was looking for that, Jay. That they do have an initial spring phase. So for teams that haven't been able to secure practice matches or need to further sharpen up before the real stuff starts. That's what the spring phase is about. But, for us, for the Frankston Blues junior program, we obviously participated in the junior representative tournament, which was a great success last weekend. So we've pretty much...
Junior representative tournament must have been just amongst
pre-season
the
tournament.
Elite, was it?
No, there was good broad participation from a number of different clubs. But
there's rumour there was about 250 teams.
There was, just under that. So there was... Frankston hosted 80 teams, and it was fantastic that, for us, we concentrated four practice games over 2 days. So we don't have to play tonight, we don't have to play next week, but we can roll into the grading phase in a couple of weeks, well prepared. And
you just do your normal training stuff.
Absolutely, yep.
Gee, there must be something going down on the water at Frankston. They're starting to get clever.
Bobby's come in, rolled the sleeves up. Clever, mate. We've been clever for the last 4 years, but... Don't get me started on that. So, just with the headlines, what's your headline for the week, mate?
Well, I do have one, and it is, well, it's two-pointed, actually, I should say. There's a local girl running around, apparently, there's an association calling her a local girl, but she's just made the Australian group, which has taken up a scholarship at the AOS, or the COE, Young Jazz Shelley.
Fantastic. I'm not sure where that sound effects is coming from. I think that's
that's people, probably the 50 women people, standing out the front of the studio.
Unless Shelley's, unless Jazz is running after people with knives. not sure where that's coming to it. But congratulations to Jazz. But she's she was a Southern Penn player. But
for a season. Now, this, I've got to say, you guys do the same thing. You play for them for a day and all of a sudden you call them your own. Really, come on. She's 15, she's played one season down at Southern Penn and they're saying, they're the ones that made her. I mean, really, come on.
Yeah, well, for us, I'm not sure what example you're using for us in terms of claiming people, but we do add value at Frankston Basketball. I'd love to hear an example where we're claiming people, but for us, Jess, she was a Warrigal
girl. She's a country girl.
Yep.
And she's been obviously claimed by Victoria as another representative from their state programs. which is fantastic for basketball. Because if you have a look at the girls that have gone through, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 girls out of about 10 or 11 that have actually made the COE have actually come from Victoria. So you go, well, hands down, they're doing something right in Victorian basketball. Good on them.
But Jazz, she's is she year 10 next year? From memory, under 16, so yeah. Bottom age, under 80s. It's a pretty young age to be going to the AIS. I'm not sure if I'd be
absolutely
too keen. Cool. She's a guard as well, so it was one of those things.
If you're good enough to go, you don't ever knock that back.
No, I know that, but I'm saying AIS for me is one of those things that what are they getting in the AIS that a Siebel program can't give them, for example? I know it manages their school life and as well as their basketball life, but year 10.
The Australian team.
I know that, but it's about the quality of when you become an Opal or a Boomer, and I'm not sure, the AIS to a point, are you taking an athlete out of their comfort zone at year 10, missing mum and dad? Are they going to get better? Don't roll your eyes, mate. See, Mark, you need to adjudicate here. He's come in with his sleeves rolled up. He's up and about. I'm not sure what's happened. He must have had half a bottle of red for lunch instead of the
I don't know if I want to get two. In between the titans of basketball on the peninsula this afternoon. But I can tell you this, if I'm the father of a 15-year-old girl who's got some potential the opportunity comes along and there's a chance to go to the AIS, you know, to train, that becomes a family decision. It's hard to say for us just sitting in a studio. We don't know her, don't know the family, don't know any of the circumstances. She's a mature 15-year-old. She'll cope with it.
But that's what we're paid to do, Mark. We're paid to make
informed opinions. If you want to be controversial about it, let's be controversial about it. I think it's an absolute no-brainer. Get a chance to go to the AIS, study and train. It's not necessarily all of the peripheral stuff. It's the fact that she'll be training with the elite athletes in the country. And if that doesn't rub off and make her an elite athlete, then she's never going to make it anywhere. You get the chance, you go. Absolutely. What are you waiting for? It's like a 5-year-old.
Yep. He's on a roll.
Suddenly gets picked up by Manchester United for a $100,000 tryout contract. What are you going to do? Say no? It's a nonsense. Get a chance. Go, baby. Go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. Hopefully she plays at the College of Excellence. I mean, that's one of the things I know with Frankston that we're trying to build a model where we should have the resources, you know, all things being equal, what the AIS have. Obviously, they've got a lot more funding, but, you know, nutrition, sports science, I understand that you're in the national program, but, I think some parents may look at it a little bit differently. I know I'd sort of assess it and sort of see where an athlete was at year 10. So.
You know what? If my boys keep behaving the way they're behaving, they could get to 15. If they got an AIS contract, I'd be paying the AIS just to take them. Come on. Give them a go. Give them a break. What's the worst that can happen? We're not asking them to fly to Istanbul to train. No. They're going to Canberra?
It's still in Australia. This could be another conversation for another day, but I can tell you now, this is the big problem that's wrong with basketball in this country. We only have one AIS. We should have 50 of them floating around the country where there's multiple kids being able to train every single day of the week.
Well, fancy you say that. Basketball Australia are going through a high-performance submission process at the moment, looking for feedback of your nature. I absolutely agree. I mean, with our facility upgrade, that's what we need. We actually need to build an environment where we're scaling the amount of athletes that are getting exposed to the AIS model. Don't get me wrong, I don't discount the AIS model. I think it's okay. But the thing that probably gets me a little bit frustrated is that at Frankston, we should be able to manage that.
Yeah. You know? So the captain thinks the AIS model is okay. I think it's a disgrace, to be honest.
I think it should be
scrapped, restarted all over again. And may I add? Well, yeah, I advocate to go there because it's the best we've got so far. But now you've changed the question. Should the AIS be there? Is it the best we've got? Is it something we should aspire to? If you knocked it down, started again, what would you do? You know, you're absolutely right. Regionalise it, take half that money, put, say, $5 million into Frankston, add some accommodation, add some educational subsidies. All of a sudden, you've got multiple AISs around the country where people don't have to travel as far to get away.
And being a Peninsula boy myself, pound for pound, in terms of school, in terms of infrastructure, universities, even trade opportunities for those athletes that are in that sort of 18 to 19 background or bracket, that's how we need to be better aligning for the sport. But I'd love to continue to talk about this, but we do have a special guest coming up after this short break. Bobby, you can throw the break, but Grant Wallace, for those listeners out there...
well, we do have a big show, don't we?
We do. The new, the newly appointed Sebel men's head coach for the Blues coming up next, so...
We have, of course, Ian House, Nathan Jolly and Mark Scaife, but on the line with us we have the Basketball Victoria Operations and new appointed Sebel Frankston coach, Grant Wallace. How are you, Grant?
Great, thank you. Yourself?
Not too bad, mate.
Good.
Welcome, Grant. This is Nathan from Frankston Basketball. Thanks for coming on. I know you're you've been a long-time listener, so it's nice to get you on air.
Thank you.
Mate, we'll jump straight into it. Not sure if you heard sort of the preamble, but it's great having you on, obviously newly appointed. Just for our listeners, just a quick thumbnail sketch of your career to date and, yeah, just a little bit about your playing and coaching background.
Yeah, sure. I'm originally a Coburg junior. That's my family. We were born and bred in the Coburg Association and ended up playing for the Giants in the NBL in the late 80s and then followed on a coaching pathway in Sebel, and next year will be my 18th year of coaching in the Sebel. And in between, done a number of junior state teams and the like, which has allowed me to work in high performance, which is fantastic as well.
And I think your appointment is a bit of a game changer for the men's program. I think it's you've already appeared to hit the ground running, but just for our listeners, just an update on the men's preseason preparations and any key signings that we can let out of the bag.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've had a bit of a review, obviously, the club new direction, trying to develop a program where really developing our own players through the program, and which is really exciting and challenging at the same time. So with our 15-man squad, we're probably going to have about seven players that will be under 20 age group and develop those and really work with them and develop them as best we possibly can so the future of the club is in good hands. From there on, we've also signed two imports, and the need with the younger players is to have two good quality imports of good size. And we've signed a guy, Ish Hollis, who played out of North Georgia, and he played up in the QBL in Queensland last year, where he averaged 28 points and about 12 boards a game. Very well credentialed and highly recommended to us by Joey Wright from the Adelaide 36ers. And then we've signed a 6'10". Hopefully animal, to provide us a nice presence inside in Dane Swatella. He played at Augustina College at D3 school and has played professionally in Portugal as well, and actually spent 6 weeks out here playing in 2014 with Kilsyth Association. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, and... we'll be doing the press release next week, so it's a bit of an exclusive for the basketball show. But once our fans actually see Dane, who's already been tagged, the great Dane, he is a physically well-built specimen. So
is it somebody for Matt Turner to tango with?
Yeah, I mean those guys. If Matt Turner can catch up, which I'm sure, or keep up, which I'm sure he'll be able to do after his huge summer of CrossFit free fall down at Seaford there. 6 a.m. session this morning with Matt, so he's doing his he's getting in his conditioning. But Dane looks to be someone of our fans can be looking forward to seeing on court. Grant, just quickly, you're modest, but you're a multiple Coach of the Year recipient in the Sebel, highly credentialed at the under 20s nationals, won a few nationals with the Victorian team. Tom Wilson, a previous player you've coached, coming out of the RES, recently signed to Southern Methodist University in Dallas, their D1 program. He's on board. You'd be excited about giving him the ball and having him run the point?
Outstanding. Probably with the best junior in the country, Tommy Wilson. And the great benefit we have is he gets to play with his brother Jack, who was on the roster last year and is backing up. He'll be better this year as well. And it's really exciting to be able to throw him the ball. And we've got Mike McGuinness returning as well, who's a stalwart of the club there. Providing some leadership, and Matt Turner you mentioned as well. So I think we've got a nice little blend of youth and experience, and we can't wait for the April season to come around.
So, Grant, it's Darren here, mate. Last year, obviously, the Blues didn't have a great year, so I think we're going to well publicise the fact that we got a new churning of the page and a new look. How long do you think it'll take for the group to develop? Is this a 12-month, 2-year, 3-year type plan?
Great question. I don't have an answer for you. I'd like to say immediately. The club, though, have shown, I guess, great confidence in me. In my years of coaching Siebel, every year I've been on a one-year contract, and the club have said, look, it's going to take some time. Let's give you a three-year contract. Let's develop these Frankston juniors and make something special here. So we'll be very competitive next year. Last year, the team lost something like six games by a shot or less.
Yeah.
So they were thereabouts. We'll do some tweaks on the defensive end, be a little bit more up-tempo. For those Frankston fans who can remember Dave Gruber, we'll have Dane in the middle there who will sort of be very similar to the way he used to play and go about it. So we're going to have a nice physical presence about ourselves as well.
Yep.
So our aim is to come game one, be as best and prepared as we possibly can.
And just from a club perspective, have great faith in Grant's ability to develop juniors. Recently sort of built what is now probably the benchmark in homegrown talent out at Kilsyth. So, you know, in terms of the 3 years, we're hoping sooner. But for us, yeah, we think Grant's well and truly equipped to get us to that point where we do have more Frankston Blues or Junior Blues running around in our senior team. Just the last one, Grant, for those listeners, the 2016 Siebel, the Siebel now is a really highly competitive league. I think people, we talked about it last week, Bobby, about just the level and going down to watch and, you know, whether it's Siebel competition as such or visiting college teams. But just for our listeners, 2016, what does the Siebel from your perspective looks like and the teams that Frankston need to be keeping an eye on? Obviously, all teams we respect, but any programs that you've heard are sort of upskilling for 2016 and the teams we should be keeping an eye on?
I think you hit the nail on the head that every team is improving and the gap is closing in. For those basketball nuts who are watching Foxtel religiously right now, watching the NBL, the standard of play and the hype about basketball is amazing right now. And many of the players that are on those NBL benches will be coming back to play in Siebel next year. So, you know, all the teams, Dandenong, in fact, you can't think of a team that won't be better than they were last year. So that's a great challenge for us to make sure we're competitive in that environment as well. It's a really exciting thing. And with the NBL, the way it's going, Siebel is equivalent standard. And just sitting on the sidelines so close to the action, it's really an exciting brand of basketball to come and watch.
Well, we're looking forward to taking another step in the game night delivery next year. All our games, another exclusive for the Basketball Show, will be live streamed. So we're going to be broadcasting on the net every doubleheader, which is fantastic. We'll have to get you down, Bobby, to be the play-by-play caller. It'd be nice to... the high performance manager at Frankston, Steve Blackley's already put his hand up to be the special comments man. So that's a good thing. But yeah, as I said, Grant, we'll wrap it up there. But thanks again for coming on. But from the club's perspective and definitely my perspective, I think the program's in great hands with yourself. And really can't wait to see the guys that we're bringing in, but also the guys, the former Frankston juniors taking another step in their Siebel career, which I'm sure, as I said, are in great hands, being ably led by yourself.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate your time.
See you later.
Wait.
This is the Basketball Show. We're going to have a quick break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about what's happening in the NBL and the WNBL. And, of course, we might even sketch a little bit on the old Peninsula Files.
All the latest news, gossip and rumours. This is the Peninsula Files.
Lots of rumours and innuendos going around locally, of course. And there is a couple. We can start with one, though, that I only actually found out about myself today. There's a new league being started on the peninsula. Did you know of that?
I wasn't aware of that, but I'm always a bit concerned when Bobby comes in the pre-show meeting. There was no talk of what you're coming up with, so maybe should I be prepared?
Oh, well, there's a new...
Should I be concerned?
No, there's a new league. It's got nothing to do with me, mate. There's a new league being held by the... It's called the Peninsula Premier League. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. Who's hosting that?
Southern Penn.
Oh, is this Back to the Future, what you tried to... Is this what we're getting at? All the good work that you started at Southern Peninsula is being revisited. Is that where we're going with this, Mark?
I have no idea.
I knew you brought a pump in. I wasn't quite sure.
I have no idea. And in fact, I'm going to make a phone call now to the the lawyers on standby, because I'm pretty sure somebody's going to want a percentage or a piece or
copyright.
A little bit of commission for hard work and development over years and years. Has this got anything to do with the exit of the Godfather from Southern Penn and terms thereof, or are we going there?
No.
No, he's got strict rules. We're not allowed to go there. So this Premier League, Bobby, talk to us.
Well, look, I happened to see it on Facebook today when I was doing a bit of a look through what's going on in the world. And, of course, sure enough, the Peninsula League, Peninsula Premier League, being coming soon, hosted by Southern Penn. And I thought, well, that's a great initiative. Good on them. Hope they do well.
We need to give them a call, see if they want to advertise on the world-famous RPPFM.
Yeah.
So Basketball Show, 98.7 or 98.3, depending where you are.
That's right.
With Arthur C.
Ring in, make a comment, 5975-1234.
Ah, oh, he's smooth. He's smooth.
Of course, we have been chatting in the last few weeks about where is Manny Hendricks?
And I'm glad you've brought this up. Unfortunately, it's taken us half an hour to get to this what I think is probably, it's almost one or four, when the level of security needs to ramp up. Where are we at? I walked in tonight. There's warning sirens going on. Where is Manny? Why hasn't he signed?
Well, last I heard, as we've said before, I thought he was going to Frankston. But clearly, the Blues have, as announced tonight, they have.
We like our imports who can play.
Ooh.
Whack! Manny was never actually part of. I never heard Manny's name in relation to playing with Frankston next year. We're good for guards, as Grant said. We've signed the under-19 starting point guard of the national team, the captain Tom Wilson. So competition's. With Jake McCauley also, and you throw Mike McGuinness into that mix, probably a tough rotation to break into, and probably not an area we need an import at. We're probably the three and the four, the bigger players with our imports.
So I'm not too sure if you're familiar though. Western Port didn't go Div 1, so they only got to Div 2. The Big V said no to their application to going up. So
do we know the reasons around that? You would have thought the grand finals may have been.
Well, you would think so.
An opportunity.
If you win, you get automatic. So I would assume if you're, you know, making the grand final, you should be. And having that there was an opening, given that one of the Peninsula teams dropped out at Div 1, being the Sharks, you would think that would be, obviously a legitimate cause to put that in. But, of course, no, they didn't. And I think that's probably put some strain on that big question which does run around basketball, as do you actually have an import in Div 2?
Yeah, well, from my perspective we all love Manny, but Division 2, I'm not sure if I'm pursuing an import in Division 2. Division 1, different story, I think. Yeah. But it depends where your association is at in terms of a staffing point of view. You may need an import to develop, which is what Manny's been, has a great track record on the Peninsula. So what happened to Coburg? I thought Coburg were in the conversation.
This is where I reckon you might find him next season, because I'm told he's coming back. And obviously we'll be having a chat with him at Bobcats, as we always do, but... I'm told and reassured that he will be back.
Being MVP of Division 2, you reckon he'd have a number of suitors looking for his talents. I guess we'll have to wait for next week. I assume he's going to have a media conference. That's the type of the way Manny rolls.
Exactly right.
Either that or he'll be having a conversation with somebody of the opposite sex at a cafe. Would that be about right?
Well,
just a rumour.
I don't know.
This is the Peninsula Files, right?
Not sure where we're going with that. But,
I'm not sure.
I don't know anything. I'm far more comfortable with legs.
Our hit list includes or those that are having concerns with our program. Andrew Bogut, who I see has just been named in the BRW Rich List, is worth a cool 60 mil. So,
have we heard from his lawyers as yet?
I have been tracking, and we'll leave this into the Peninsula Files. Where has Bogut been? Did you watch the Clippers game last night?
No.
No Bogut. Hasn't played for three rounds.
Well, he broke his nose, didn't he?
Yeah, he had no surgery.
Okay.
Where's he been? That's what I was looking for.
He could be briefing his legal team on action.
I was following him on Twitter. Following up on
my point was, we don't need Manny to be also or other parties pursuing the Basketball Show. We like our 6 to 7 p.m. time slot. We'd like to keep it.
Well, just to let you know, Bogut apparently got concussed. I actually found out where he was today. I was wondering where he'd been for the last three games since the NBA is back.
You mean he took a shot to the head and blacked out?
Well, he actually got, because he had a broken nose, he butted heads with Dane Cunningham in the third quarter from I think it was from the Grizzlies game, and as a result of that, he ended up having to sit out for the next three games.
Hey, it could have been worse. It could have been what happened to Damian Martin last night, losing teeth in a broken jaw in a reckless elbow by
allegedly reckless Conklin. elbow.
Allegedly, no, I saw the elbow. It made contact to his mouth. So how it got in there?
Unintentional. There was no intent.
No, you're right. I think Damian Martin was trying to bite his elbow. So maybe Damian Martin gets rubbed out.
Well, you did actually see him. He actually ran into the contest. So I thought, from what I saw, Conklin actually already had the ball.
Well, here's the grounds for a new section of the basketball show. We could do a review of every controversial act in every game the week before and just rub some poor devil out for 6 weeks.
Sounds good. A visual medium on a radio show. Maybe we do it through our Facebook. But with the Brian Conklin elbow, though, it was one of those, I think it was reckless.
Are we going to let this go, Nathan?
No, I just want to put it in the vault of what do we think?
The vault.
Will he get weeks?
I reckon at most one.
Mark?
If they can prove intent, he should go for 6 to 8 weeks. Yes. But if there's no intent and it's accidental or incidental contact of two players actively going for the ball, that's all going to come down to where his eyes are at, then really, you know, maybe you give him a hefty fine and a...
So bring in the body language expert, the person that can identify the eyes.
And where, what was set up.
Is there such a thing? Hang on. Is there a tribunal
which
here
we'll get
anyway?
To that. So Townsville, this is the NBL scheduling for you. We do love Larry and we do love Jeremy. But so Townsville played last night, played Perth. They've both got on the same plane after what was a fiery match in Townsville Wednesday night. And they've... playing tonight at Perth. So they've hastily convened a tribunal, I assume, you know, by Skype or whatever, but they're going to be in the same room. And there was a lot of vitriolic conversation coming out of the Perth camp. They were very disappointed. But credit to the Townsville coach, Sean Dennis. He, when he was basically replayed the comments from Trevor Gleeson, the Perth coach, basically told him to suck it up, you know, stop being a sook, and it's a man's game. So it'll be interesting what the tribunal, their findings are, but I know there's a number of people in the industry thinking that he may get multiple weeks. I think it's a 3+ week. Unfortunately, it's reckless, but if that stuff continues to happen in our game, it ain't great because we are a low-impact, non-contact sport.
Apparently. Alrighty,
thanks,
you
Mitch.
Listening to
the Mitch was hanging just to press that button.
We are listening to the Basketball Show. We're going to go and have a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about female sport with the great man Darren Glass. So we are listening to the Basketball Show on RPPFM, brought to you by Frankston Basketball and, of course, Bobcats Basketball. Welcome back to the Basketball Show on RPPFM. Now, for all those listeners out there, I did refer to Darren Dance as Darren Glass. My apologies, Darren, to you. Not that you may have heard or may not have heard, but welcome, Darren.
Nope, he's done a runner. He's
Darren
Dance,
are you there?
Right.
We heard rumour that you were having some horses down that end, mate, but we weren't sure where you were.
I was just overruled by the introduction.
How are you, great man?
Resting well.
Wonderful, wonderful. You're in the resting paddock after a long Melbourne Cup week. How'd you pull up?
We're struggling, but we've got one day to go and we're going to hit the line hard.
Fantastic. Now, for all of those who remember the show, not last week, but the week before, you and I had had a little bit of a head-to-head at the races at Moonee Valley. There was a staying race. You tipped a horse called Prince of Penzance. I tipped a horse called the United States. The United States beat Prince of Penzance on its ear and was eased down on the line. And your tip comes out and wins the Melbourne Cup. Thanks for that.
That's good, Mark. Look, it's okay for you to throw a three-pointer, but I won the game.
Well, been doing a bit of research, Darren.
You like that?
I love that one. Now, of course, you loaded up at 100-1. But I wanted to let all the Basketball Show listeners know about the Michelle Payne link to Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock and yourself, because you have been a long-time supporter of this young lady. You've put her on multiple horses of yours. She's had great success. So all this hullabaloo about women in sport, and she in particular as a jockey, is a little non-applicable to you. What makes her a super rider?
She's very pretty.
So let's just...
She's a very good rider. Look, I've known Michelle Payne, the Payne family. They're a Ballarat family. Known them for a long time. Her father's one of the most hardworking, funniest men you'd ever meet. And for those out there that don't know a lot about racing, Michelle Payne's one of 10 children in that family. And unfortunately, when Michelle Payne was 6 months old, her mother was killed tragically in a car accident. And her dad brought those 10 children up on his own, and they all, 9 of them, became riders, except for Stevie, who's got Down syndrome, and he's a rock star in his own right now, Stevie Payne, the strapper.
Doing very well, I hear, in the nightclub scene.
Oh, he's everywhere, Stevie.
Yep.
But, you know, that family, they were brought up hard and tough, and, you know, Paddy Payne's done a great job. And Michelle Payne and every Payne has been a terrific horse person and a great rider and in their own right. And Michelle Payne can be regularly seen at all the unofficial trials at Warrnambool and Farang, Camperdown, Ballarat, Burrumbeet, riding work for Darren Weir and riding work on a lot of our horses. And we've had a lot of success with her on, particularly on mares, like Long Espresso, the Mighty Platelet, and just recently on La Passe.
And, the fabulous La Passe at 44.
She won
two
Group 2s on her and filled our pockets up for us. And, you know, there was no one happier than me to see her win for Darren Weir, you know, the Melbourne Cup. And no one happier than us to see that horse pay $100.
I was about to jump in. This is Nathan from Frankston Basketball, Darren. When I saw 68.50 come up, I thought, wow, there's one we missed out on. And who was I thinking of? I was thinking of our tipping guru, Mark, who, just couldn't get it for our listeners.
Jesus, I don't even want to go there. I'm in the same camp and standing in the same line as David Gately, one of the more respected tipsters and racing analysts around. And I went to a Calcutta on the night before the Melbourne Cup, and lucky enough to draw 4 horses at the Mornington RSL. I then bought another 4 horses that I thought could win the Melbourne Cup. And then just to be sure, when I got to the track the following day, I went and backed just a couple of those roughy kind of types for the place that I thought might knock me off for some of the lesser prizes. And I famously stood there 5 minutes before the race and I said to everybody in the marquee who would listen as I gloated that I now cannot lose on this race. My worst result is 0 because the only thing that can knock me out would be a rough outsider at 100-1. And gee, wow. Oh, and the godfather's laughing.
Well, I'm laughing here, Mark, because I think the words Mark and guru can't go on the same sentence.
Whack. Love it.
Now, let's get on to hopefully recovering some of the hard-earned millions that all of the bookies scraped out on the Tuesday, seeing as how I wasn't the only one who thought that 100-1 shot, in fact, couldn't win. You've got our favourite boy, Dan Dino, running on Saturday.
Yeah, he's in race 3. He's in the Queen's Cup, or what's formerly known as the Queen Elizabeth Group 3, and that's a consolation race for horses that just missed out on making the field for the Melbourne Cup, of which in this race there's Dan Dino and another horse owned by the Sheik, Secret Number. They're very clearly the two favourites, both at $2.70 favourites. And this is their consolation to try and win a race after missing out on the Melbourne Cup.
And you're also going head to head with Her Majesty the Queen. She's got a horse in the race herself, Bold Sniper.
She has. Bold Sniper, owned by Her Majesty and trained by David Hayes and Tom Babinick, and racing in the Queen's Cup. So for all those omen tipsters out there, they probably should back Bold Sniper.
Well, let's hope they all jump on a Bold Sniper and the odds and the price for Dan Dino goes out the window, because we're just going to absolutely smash Dan Dino with every cent that the Godfather and the basketball show has got.
Well, he's a great horse. He's been unlucky in the spring. He's run really well these last two starts. Fourth in the Turnbull, second in the Geelong Cup, and he was just unlucky not to make the Melbourne Cup. And it's interesting talking to Darren Weir, saying that he tried to get three horses into the Melbourne Cup. He only got the one in, and that was the one he gave the lowest ranking and lowest chance to, and it's popped up and won the Melbourne Cup. So you'd have to think on that logic, Dan Dino would be very hard to beat in the Queen's Cup.
Well, I think that's the big tip, and it's my favourite tip because he's my favourite horse. This is my link to the Saturday, and then for you, Darren, after the hectic Melbourne Cup Carnival week or so, you get a bit of a breather, and then I hear you're off to New Zealand to start the long process of acquiring horses now over the next few months. Part of the process, yeah.
We're going to sneak down to Auckland for a week and go to the... they have a sale, an auction there for racehorses that are 2 years old that are already at work, and we'll go down and have a look at those, and we might be able to secure one or two that we might be able to see in either the Derby or the Oaks next year with a bit of luck. And maybe in 2017 or 18, one of those might pop up in the Melbourne Cup. That would be fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, listen, wishing you and your superstar, Dan Dino, a safe race on Saturday, and when he wins, we'll be jumping through the roof on that one, Darren. Thank you again as well for all of your fabulous insight over the last few weeks, the spring racing carnival, having somebody of your ilk on the basketball show on the peninsula has been a real buzz, and congratulations as well for some of the other wins of some of your great horses.
It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed it. I look forward to catching up with you next year, and my final word for the show will be Chautauqua.
Chautauqua's a good word. We're going to go to a break, I think, Mitch, and again, thank you, Darren. We'll speak soon.
Bye.
The basketball show on RPPFM in downtown Mornington. We're on the home final quarter, third term. We're down by 10, Nate, and we got to bring it home, mate, unfortunately. So
not going with some horse racing parlance. I thought we may have been, 100 metres to go in the straight, and we've whipped up, ready to...
Horse racing parlance. Let me tell you about horse racing parlance. The marquees in the birdcage at Flemington this year.
They were just stunning. No invites for the hosts for the long lunch, yeah.
Long lunch, and this is why you don't get an invitation. It's the late lunch. Male luncheon. We need to get the brand name right. The experience of a lifetime for young Mitch here, where he hit the deck running. He took 4 hours to get his bearings, hung and ran, and personally assisted Alan Jones himself in a pressure environment. And I must say, Mitch, you were sensational.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. No, it was a really, really good opportunity.
Where's the prize? Where's your little applause?
Oh, we'll get the applause going.
Anyway, anyway, moving right along.
I don't move along. Yeah. I was going to describe how...
Mate, we're now 50 metres away from the post. But just quickly, NBL, WNBL, we haven't really spoken much about WNBL. Firstly, Michelle Payne, great result for females in sport.
Females in sport, she is a superstar, lovely girl. Nobody begrudges her win, except for me, of course, because she knocked me out of the trifecta all the rest. But speaking of women in sport, we do know that the Canberra Capitals are playing the Sydney Uni Flames, and the Canberra Capitals are $8. In that game. Is that because they just can't win?
Flogged everywhere. Yeah. They are, unfortunately.
All right, so Sydney Uni's going to win that game.
I'd imagine. So Adelaide Lightning, good win last week when they were outsiders, which they nudged to $5. So those smart punters out there, they got the $5. Well done.
Now, how are our girls doing? The Deacon...
Oh, the Melbourne Deacons Boomers.
Well, we'll get to that, Bobby, quickly. You've, read us the results and the games coming up?
I'm trying to work. Look, I've been struggling, as we all probably know, for the last 3 weeks to try and utilise the women, the WNBL website. Trying to
get, they still haven't fixed that?
They can't get results out of that.
I thought up
some printouts. So then if we move straight along, go to the NBL. NBL
what I can
itself.
Say, though, is on the women's side, the ladder, they do have a ladder now. And
just quickly, though, just before we jump in, what round are we up to? Because weren't they supposed to be on TV by now?
Round four. Actually, they must have played five games, and we're officially into round... This is what it doesn't tell you on the thing either. So I would say round five.
So they were supposed to review it at round three. Yes. Clearly, Mark's campaign has fallen on deaf ears.
Fantastic. However, I did do some research and found out that I have the capability myself, personally, through my own little minor marketing company, in fact, to buy one of the digital free-to-air... Sorry, that's an oxymoron. One of the digital stations, one of the broadcast channels. I can buy enough time to run... and play, you know, a WNBL match once a week.
2 hours?
We could pick a feature game. We could run it. We could own it. We could promote it and see how we go. We just need somebody to give us a bit of dough and we're out and running.
We could actually just go down and film it ourselves, couldn't we?
Well, we could film it ourselves, but you got to get the angles. You got to get it happening.
Well, I was going to say, well, I've got a family pass. We can go and sit in the crowd with our iPhone.
Well, see, this is it. And this is the problem.
Hey, it's like, what was that scary film that they just did it on a camcorder?
I think anyone seeing a man over the age of whatever with a personal phone recording.
Highest grossing film of all time.
Sports, probably going to get arrested.
And I reckon Channel 10, with their share price at the moment, I reckon they're looking for content, and they're probably looking for a vehicle to improve the number of eyeballs, which will lead to revenue. I think we actually go to the Murdochs. We call Gina. We say, look, let's have a chat about the strategy of increasing your audience through the WNBL that's going to be produced by our great man, Mark.
I thought Gina has sold out. She was the smart chick. Yeah, she's buying beef too. And cattle stations now. Yeah. As is Harold Mitchell, who also sold out, I think, and is now buying huge, massive tracts of Australian land to sell beef, because
back to the Chinese.
Everything with Channel 10 doesn't work. But in terms of women's
not until they get the WNBL, and this is where I see the opportunity. But moving into the NBL, I know you want to jump into it. We've literally got 3 minutes to go. NBL games that have played.
Townsville-Perth. Townsville 89, Perth 77, New Zealand, Adelaide 98, 88, New Zealand won. Sydney, Melbourne for the third time, I think this time already, 105 to 94, better showing than the previous weeks. Then we have Illawarra, Cairns tonight, Perth and Townsville again, rematch of the fisticuff all-in brawl to come, Adelaide, Sydney and then Melbourne, New Zealand on Sunday.
And the tips from...
And I might just say, quickly, the WNBL, they had their big doubleheader with the NBL last weekend, which was really great from Melbourne United Boomers. Only got 1,900.
1,900 still, that's...
They couldn't crack the 2015 house.
They'd be happy with that. But when you give away tickets, it's great having bums on seats, but
bring
not
the
sure.
body suits back, I say. Bring the body suits back. Now, NBL odds... For the games.
I actually love this segment now. I know it's we shouldn't encourage gambling, but it's good that we've got
I'm going to throw the games out. The captain's going to give us one of these that he thinks is going to get up, because Cairns
and
versus
Bobby D. Bobby's been watching the four.
Well, see, the Godfather's, he's pretty tight with us. Anyway, we won't go there. Cairns versus Illawarra. Illawarra, $1.50 favourites versus Cairns at $2.60. Who do you like there, Captain?
For a bit of value... I think Cairns. I had their point guard Starks sacked last week. I thought he was going to be the one that was going to be the barometer for their continual losing. He's had a great game, and ironically, they've won. So he saved himself another week in Australia, and he's actually playing pretty well. He looks good when he goes off the dribble and is a bit more aggressive than being a facilitator. So for the outsider, I'd go Cairns.
So he's in the forgive file. So we're going to go Cairns at $2.60. We got Perth at $1.24 versus Townsville at $4.
So, do we stay away from this game, or are we going for the league?
Just remember, we've only got a four ladder final series. So Melbourne United are sitting on the top of the ladder 8-0. Perth a second 4-2. New Zealand a 4-3. Adelaide round out your top four at 3 and 4. Right. Everyone else is out of finals at this stage.
Well, that would explain why Melbourne and United versus New Zealand is a hot game. Melbourne United $1.45, New Zealand $2.75.
They've just got back their main man, ooh, Corey.
And I think if you actually combine the Cairns and the New Zealand bet, I reckon you may actually eke out some
coinage.
Some odds that would tempt someone that wants to part with their money, I think.
Adelaide Sydney will be interesting, assuming Adelaide starting to look good, but at the same time, Sydney can only get better.
Yeah. Adelaide $1.136.
Yeah, I think Adelaide are almost... they played pretty well last night against New Zealand.
I think they were up most of the game. It was only the last quarter they fell apart.
Well, the last quarter, it was neck and neck at three-quarter time, and then New Zealand just closed the game out.
But how good is it to talk about the NBL when it's on TV? It makes it so much easier.
Well, this is where if you've got $5 to muck around with, you can actually watch your $5 for about 8 hours, and there's good value for money. Whereas if you're going to back anything in the WNBL, you got to turn on a radio, or you got to turn up and make it 1,901.
Is it on the radio
turning up? Well, somebody's got to be talking about it somewhere, surely, isn't there?
I don't think it's...
Isn't there nobody talking about it either?
No, I don't think there's any broadcasting of any nature. Even with the live streaming, which Frankston are embracing, that's the modern technology. We're keeping up to date with those trendsetters.
Well, but it was the modern technology 10 years ago.
I know, yes. And that's that was very tongue-in-cheek there, Mark. Way to pick up the subtlety. But but the WNBL, not to even pick up on potential live streaming, I think as a club, a WNBL franchise, I want to get my product... Yeah. Our team and our franchise out to as many eyeballs as possible, and an audience that you can communicate to, which is really important.
Well, they don't even have their own website. So.
Well, let's see if we can put together a work experience program where we can get half a dozen kids. We'll do the job. We'll get them up live, and away we go.
I've actually got one a better suggestion. Looks like the baseball guys aren't coming in. Let's get the butcher's paper out. Let's actually just do a half an hour strategy on air. Strategic. Mark could be the facilitator. I reckon he's facilitated a few team meetings in his time.
I've had to facilitate some very interesting marketing strategy meetings with some incredible nuffheads in my time.
Mate, you're suited to us.
Not that I'm suggesting we're nuffheads, but perhaps the obvious needs to be done, and somebody just needs to, I don't know, hey, call me stupid, make an effort.
Basketball Australia, are you listening?
Could there be an effort made somewhere?
Have we got a sound effects?
Idiot on 180.
I'm not party to slandering governing bodies. Again, that list just continues to grow. The Christmas card list is getting shorter and shorter.
I am absolutely in the zone to slander government bodies because that's what they're there for. anyone that incompetent to allow this complete degeneration of women's basketball to occur really deserves...
Well, I reckon the challenge of the week is maybe we hit up someone at BA just to get a bit of an update on where they're at. Paul Maley, I know, is the CBL and also the WNBL general manager. It'd be great to get Paul on just to get an update on where they're at.
Why don't we find out who's responsible, get them online, and then fry them.
Sports minister.
That'd be good.
ABC.
That's
we can get the Prime Minister. He was the one who cut the ABC budget, Malcolm. So
I don't think Malcolm did. No, it was Tony, but... Yeah, that's okay. Well, we'll get to the bottom of this and we'll...
I tell you what, let's see if we can get the Minister for Sport on the world famous number one rating basketball show at RPPFM.
Just rolls off the
and
tongue.
Ask the question.
That number one basketball show.
Let's just ask that question.
At this rate, boys, we may not be on next week because we're running out of time. But we would like to thank all our guests for being on tonight. Grant Wallace, what a great man he was. And Darren Dance.
Darren Dance. The man now remembered, Dan Dino on Saturday. Dan Dino.
All righty.
And what was that precursor word?
Chautauqua.
That is a great name. That's a great word.
It's a superstar horse, all up.
Alrighty, boys, we've got to roll. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great weekend,
for being
everyone.
Tonight.
Go Blues.